yourself seated, we prepare for the Dhamma sharing. So those who just arrived, you can have your food. Those already ready, try to sit around and maintain some form of attention. And in about 5 minutes time, we can start our usual Dhamma sharing. Oh, thank you. Chinese tea. Oh, okay, thank you. Coffee fang zhen zhe bian jiu ke. Thank you. Sanadu. You can just silence your mind and meditate if you know how to meditate. If you don't know how to meditate, then you just sit yourself in a relaxed manner, then in another 3-4 minutes maybe we can start our Dhamma sharing. For those who are new, who totally don't understand what Dhamma is, maybe I make use of these 3-4 minutes to explain. Dhamma is a Pali word. It denotes the teachings of Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. And this teaching is very unique. Because when you understand this teaching, you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life, and you understand all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why it's a very unique teaching. And this teaching can bring forth an understanding which can transform human mind, humanity. It can make you beautiful, wise, virtuous. Then you need not have any more suffering. Means you can develop the awakened state or enlightened state. They call it enlightenment. When you are enlightened, means you have wisdom, you are no longer deluded. That's why this teaching can be very unique. So this is a very short introduction of what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. That's why after every session, when we have this occasion, we call it the house dana. Dana means generosity. You hold a house gathering where you offer food to people, to the triple jam. Then we all rejoice with all the wholesomeness and generosity. So all these are very wholesome. It can bring forth a lot of advantages in the form of fellowship, cultivation of generosity, virtue, rejoicing, good mind state. Then you can meet up with good Kayamitas. Then it's very appropriate because today is the 14th day of Chinese New Year. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, 1 more minute, just like after that we can start. So, Stephanie, where is Stephanie? Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe now we start. So today, on behalf of Sister Stephanie, I'd like to welcome everybody to this house dana and Dhamma sharing so that we may have the causes and conditions to develop some wholesomeness. Then, like I said earlier on, we rejoice with the wholesomeness of Stephanie inviting us all to come and partake in this house dana wholesomeness so that we can be here together to have this Dhamma sharing. And these are the causes and conditions that we have. Then since it's Chinese New Year, we would like to welcome this New Year of the Monkey 2016 with wholesome thought, with a kind heart, with a good mind, so that you can develop more and more virtue, more and more wholesomeness, more and more goodness, and more and more understanding to walk the path of Dhamma. Then when you have this good understanding, you will be able to progress very well in the path of Dhamma to develop more and more wholesomeness, wisdom, so that you can be a blessing to all of humanity. And all those that you have relationship with. So this is what we actually look forward to. Then today, since we are gathered here, I believe there are some who may have questions on Dhamma. You got any particular question or topic that you want me to speak on, you can let me know, or you can ask whatever question you want about the teaching, about life, and how to develop the understanding of life. Anybody? No question. So, open topic. Okay, good. Maybe I will start off with some very basic, essential Dhamma. Means the essence of the Buddha's teaching, so that it can benefit the new people. Then at the same time, it can also act as a revision for those who already know the Dhamma. According to the Buddha, he said, we live in this universe, which he calls samsara. Samsara is a Pali word. Samsara denotes the sea of suffering with birth and death. Means when you are born into this conditioned world, each and every living being, they will have to go through birth and death. So they call it the ocean of suffering. Wherever there is birth, there will be old age, sickness, and death that will accompany birth. That's why when you go through life, you will experience all this, getting old, getting sick, and die. Then I was told by an Indian, we got a doctor here, so you get sick, you don't worry. We are lucky, we are in an era where we have good medical doctors who can actually help in many ways. In the past, I remember the 50s and the 60s. I was born in the 50s. The early years, we were not so fortunate. Many people couldn't survive because lack of medication, lack of medical people. So during the early days, the mortality rate were very low. Many people died early. My grandfather, I remember, my dad told me he passed away at the age of 40 plus because he got tuberculosis, TB. Last time TB, no cure. Then later on, malaria. Also a lot of people succumbed to it. Then during the early days, we didn't even know what cancer was and all those things. So whenever they got sickness, disease or what, we got no place to go. Then they used to go and see medium, Chinese insane and all those things. Then Malay go and see Bomo. Then the other race will go and see their own traditional belief. So modern people call them quack doctor. But now we are more fortunate. Even our government hospital has become so different. I visited some. They are now very different from the olden days. So what the Buddha said is, when we are born into this world, samsara, we will have to experience many realities that come with life. The mundane reality. So he actually expounded the Four Noble Truths, which he proclaimed to the world and said, if you understand this Four Noble Truths, this is the essence of his teaching, you will understand life, you will understand the secret of life. These are noble truths because it can make you noble one, enlightened one. So during the early days, 2000 years ago, time of the Buddha, enlightened beings are called noble ones. Means they are very noble in their understanding of life, very noble in the way they express themselves, very noble in the way they arise their thought, the way they arise their speech, and how they communicate with people, then how they act. Everything is in accordance with good moral principle and echo with nature's law. They are incapable of deceitfulness, negativity, selfishness, and all these things. So because of that, they have the noble quality of an enlightened being. They speak gently, politely, kindly. Then they act with love, compassion, gratitude, contentment, wholesomeness. They are incapable of deceitfulness, trying to take advantage of people, trying to cheat people, trying to benefit from things when people are not aware, misappropriate things and all those things. So because of that, the Buddha said, as you go through life, you have to cultivate this understanding so that you can become noble one, enlightened one. Otherwise, your life will become miserable. You will be afflicted. You will suffer because of your lack of understanding of life. Especially the laws that govern life and existence. Then he summarized the first noble truth. He said, there is this noble truth that explain to you clearly about the realities of life and existence. He called it the first noble truth of suffering, prevalence of suffering. He said, suffering is everywhere. You can see them happening in this world if you don't have the understanding and the wisdom. If you live a heedless life, if you don't train your mind to be mindful, to understand all this nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. He said, each and every one of us living being, we are all born out of karma, heir to our karma condition, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. It's just like you reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. So if you understand that each and every one of us, our life depends so much on karma, then what must we do? Because this is a nature's law. It's not a punishment from a god or a supreme being. It's a nature's law. Just like nature's law, how he explained day and night, you don't need God to create day and night. It's because of our earth rotating on its axis, rotating around the sun. That's why day and night become possible. And because we rotate on the axis, there is this weather formation. And because we have the atmosphere and all those things. And all these are very natural. That's why scientists are able to understand all this. So the Buddha, because of his wisdom, he was able to understand the five great order of nature that governs all of life and existence. He called it the five universal order of Pancha Niyamas. He said the first two are scientific law. They are called physical law of nature, Otu Niyama. The second one is biological order of nature, Bija Niyama. The scientists are very good in this too. That's why they progress so fast. Our civilization progress so fast and transform in such a great way over the last 30, 40 years. In fact, the whole of the last 5,000-6,000 years of civilization is nowhere comparable to our last 30, 40 years of evolution. We were still so backward before World War II. Even after World War II, the 50s and the 60s, I remember, we still don't have proper pipe water, electricity and all those things. It's only during the 70s, 80s, then 90, 2000, 2010, no? Going to 2020. And you see the rise of civilization and fall of civilization. So all this follow nature's law. So the Buddha said, because of this, when the scientists understand the first two physical law of nature and biological law, they are able to comprehend what our planet and our universe is made of and how all these things happen. That's why we have science, we have medical science, we have physical science, and we have all the various branches of study. Later on, arts, economics, even religion, they become part and parcel of university academic studies because these are needed. That's why you have finance and all those things, marketing, then you have commerce, industry. Many, many of these evolve over time. So according to the Buddha, he said, these are physical law or scientific law that will transform you materialistically. Means these are not spiritual law. But when you live in this world, is it? If you are successful in the materialistic sense, means materialistic world alone, it does not guarantee happiness. Take for example, in our mundane civilization, to most of us, success means what? You are born into a well-to-do family. Then you go to school, you achieve academic excellence. Then you graduate, get a good job, develop financial freedom. You have more than enough money for whatever you need. Then you can do what you want in life. Then you may decide to get married, build up a family. Then you can have good harmony within the family, a lot of understanding and love that constitute success. Then you will be very happy. You thought that's what life is all about. But the Buddha said this is not enough. When you confront the reality, life, the world, is it, despite all your wealth, there are certain reality as you live life, as you go through life, you experience them, and money alone cannot help you. He talked about the spiritual law. He said there are three more laws that governs life and existence. These are spiritual law. First is the law of karma, moral causation. Like I explained just now, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil, you will suffer. If you kill people, harm people, deceive, cheat people, in future when there is condition, you become the victim. People will harm you, kill you, cheat you and deceive you. If you push drug, later on you will have to face the law. Then in future life, you become drug addict, people push to you because this is what you did to people and make them suffer. So this law of karma is very powerful. So when you are materialistically very successful, maybe you got authority, you become very famous, if you don't do your duty in accordance with this law of nature, which is a law of karma, you simply take advantage of people, abuse your authority, then the karmic repercussion, the friction of your wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process and action, they will hit back at you when conditions arise. That's how human beings suffer. Then according to the Buddha, there is also another law, spiritual law, law of the mind. How you function as a human being, how this mind actually arise and pass away, how it follow a nature's law, law of mind. That's why all those psychic abilities, special ability when you meditate and train your mind, these are nothing special except they understand the nature's law and they make use of it. And most of it are thought-based energy field. But if you develop the true understanding of another aspect of mind, which is beyond thought, the true mind, you will become very different. Your mind will become very different. When you train this mind, it becomes very peaceful, very calm, with a lot of clarity, and is silent. And it will develop the awareness within to understand many, many things. And you can even awaken to the universal characteristic. There are three universal characteristics that are common to all things in this universe, the Buddha said. All of phenomena, they exhibit these three universal characteristics. Is it? They are conditioned arising. That's why the first characteristic is impermanent. Dependent on condition, they change. Everything is in a state of flux. And because they are impermanent, you cannot attach, cling and hold and say, I want it to remain the same forever. Impossible. Even happiness come and go. Suffering also come and go. Good life also come and go. Our body also will go through the phase of birth. Then you grow up into a child. Then you mature into a, maybe they call it youth. After youth, you actually starts to pick until you reach the age of maybe 20 something, where you graduate and come out to work. Then you work until very hard, you start to plateau off and decay. Then you go old. Then after that, they say you can retire, they don't need you. Then after retire, you will end up in hospital more often than in the office. So all these other phases you will go through. Then our body, our mind, exhibit the same condition of impermanence. If you cling, attach, grasp, and want it to remain forever young, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Impossible, because these are realities, the Buddha said, where each and every individual will have to confront. So this first noble truth reality, now I will go into it. The Buddha said there are eight realities. If you live long enough, you will experience them. Upon birth, if you don't have wisdom and understanding, there's a lot of suffering that comes with birth. The married people will know, those who experience childbirth. During the maternity period, you got your morning sickness. You carry the baby for many months. Then after that, the birth process is not easy. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. But with medical science, maybe now more bearable. Last time, olden day, they give birth at home. I was born in my own house. My mother told me. Then, after I was born only, they managed to contact the, they call Bidan, nurse. the one with the lioness, they call me the back. Then they help my mother. Midwife, but not the official one. The one last time during the 50s. You know, no uniform also. They just come and help out. They say, help to deliver. So I was born in that way. Then the umbilical cord also, they got nothing to cut. That time no proper antiseptic or what. Then they just use a scissor, burn it. Then hope for the best. But my mother was very lucky. He delivered 9, all healthy. Everyone healthy, no problem. And she can carry the baby until the water bag burst. Then she will pack her own thing, take a trishaw, go hospital. My third brother onward, more lucky, got hospital already. Me, no hospital at home. So these are the things. Then if there's any complication, like very common children, sometimes the doctor come out and tell you, we got a dilemma. Then you ask what? You can only decide. One will survive. Either you save the mother or the child. Oh, that's very traumatic. So there are many incidents like that. Then sometimes, like that day, one of the hospital, one of, I don't know, I heard, I think my doctor's colleague, I don't know what, I forgot already. The baby was born, first day, okay, healthy. Second day, don't know what happened, the nurse also don't know. They say the baby no more breathing, already dead. And the hospital is doing an investigation. All these things can happen. Then sometimes mix up. The baby got mixed up. Then sometimes in the incubator, like especially those premature birth, sometimes 7 months premature. Then sometimes complication, they need to do cesarean and all those things. For us, we are lucky because we got normal birth, so you don't hear all this. But there are people who are not so fortunate. Karma. Then, apart from birth, as you grow up, you will experience disease, sickness, injury. So when it happens, you also suffer. Money can only maybe get you a better doctor and allow you to have the medication that you can afford. But apart from that, you also have to suffer the pain, the trauma that you had to go through. So these are all mental suffering. Then as you get old nowadays, you see a lot of our grandparents, then even some of us which are not so young anymore, we see how our parents go through old age. And now, at my age, I also experience them. We are no longer like before. So, agile. There are many things that we used to do when we are young, we cannot do anymore. Then as you grow old, your senses fail you. Your organs fail you. Then you need to visit hospital more often, specialist center more often. Then you will have to look for good doctors to help you, advise you, pull through all this. So now we are very fortunate because we are in the era where there is WhatsApp. So now my school classmate, we got one big WhatsApp group where the whole world, all our classmates, US everywhere, we share information. You got any problem, you WhatsApp inside there. All these specialists, doctors, or even engineers, they will help you. So previously, no such thing. I remember during the early years, even send one letter to UK or Australia, take 3 weeks to arrive. Wait for reply another 3 weeks, 1.5 months, you only send one letter. Then later on you can fax over. Or now no need to fax, video conference. WhatsApp straight away, make phone call, you're already able to communicate. So society has become more sophisticated. Then nowadays, information flow is very fast. That's why our lifestyle is different. With scientific progress, we got better facilities. Then we can have good life, happy life. So even though we have to go through the same reality and suffering, but our generation is so much more fortunate. That's why you must have gratitude, contentment, joy. You must appreciate what you have. A lot of human beings still complain and become miserable, but they have never lived the 30s, the 40s during war, and the 50s and the 60s. If you go through this, more miserable. Now you've got all this handphone, nice house, all the good life, you still complain. You still got a lot of delusion. That's why I learned to have good understanding, appreciate life more, have contentment, have love, then have gratitude towards your parents, gratitude towards your good karma for giving you such good condition to be in this world. Excuse me, I need a drink. Then apart from getting old, facing all these traumatic diseases like cancer, heart attack, HIV and many, many other things, you even have these old people having this, they call dementia, where they cannot remember new things. They go out, they don't know how to come home. I've seen them happening. My elder brother's mother-in-law has that problem. Then one of my neighbor's grandmother, very old, live until about 80 plus. At the age of near 80, he got dementia. Sometimes she didn't dress, she didn't know, no, she walked out of the house. And then the daughter-in-law got big problem looking after her. Then she will wet herself. Then like a child, don't know what to do, cry and all those things. Then there are many incidents where they don't know how to come back. They sit on the roadside. They just cry. Then the police took them to the police station. Then you go and make police report. You lost your grandparent or what. They tell you, is this your grandparent? So there are many of these cases around. Then death is of course very traumatic. Death of a breadwinner, death of a loved ones. It can be very traumatic. Somebody that you have relationship with. Then the fifth one is the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, it can lead to a lot of suffering. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, means it can be your mother-in-law, your step-parents. Sometimes it's the career field, when you have bosses that are not easy to deal with. They will actually put pressure on you. They say harassment. Management, by putting fear and harassment in the staff, they harass you for delivery of your work deadline and all those things. Then they put fear in you. You don't deliver, don't report for work anymore. We don't need you. Then they threaten to take disciplinary action, court action. A lot of these things make them very stressful. That's why nowadays young people got psychiatric problems. I saw the psychiatric ward, a lot of young people. I used to go to HUKM for my diabetic and what they call heart medication last time. Then when I was there, my sister is a lecturer there in the nursing school. Then I observed, then I saw, wow, I passed by once, psychiatric ward. I say, why so many young people around? So I asked around. They told me nowadays it's different from last time. Young people also got depression. And this is very common nowadays. Because of work problem, stress. Sometimes relationship problem, girlfriend problem, boyfriend problem. Sometimes financial problem, health problem. It can be very, very traumatic, and their mind can be very disturbed. So that brings us to the other reality, the Buddha said. When there is separation from loved one, or fear of separation from loved one, or the thing you own and you possess, like your wealth, your possession, your property, your car, your business, your reputation, all this, due to economic crisis, or when you make a bad decision, then for separation from loved one, it can be accident, earthquake, tsunami, nature's disaster, or even nowadays snatch thief, quite common. So when it happens, it can be very traumatic. Then in short, the Buddha said the last reality is, if you don't understand who you are, what you are, if you deludedly cling and attach to this so-called human being, thinking that this is you, and you deludedly grasp, cling, then you will suffer. So the Buddha said, in short, all of suffering comes from our self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that condition us to grasp and cling onto this physical body and mind of ours, thinking that this is what we are. So if you believe this body is you, which most people were, you will tell these people, how can you say this one not me? I want to love, I love, I want to do whatever I can. Why you say not me? But the Buddha say, if you were to meditate and look deep within, the physical body made of elements can never be you. Then the mind, which is consciousness, they arise and they pass away, but the entity is still around. So all of the things you feel, you perceive, you think, and you become conscious of, they arise and they pass away, but you still around. That's why this mind is not what you think. They are not you. But if you think they are you, you have a problem. If you think this physical body belongs to you, you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. That's why there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow and lamentation. Those in the medical line, they will know. It's very common. That's why all doctors study psychology, to calm the patient down, to actually let them understand. Then there are some trained in trauma. They call it trauma doctor. So a lot of things evolve because of condition that requires all these specialized people, specialized trained people. So this reality, the Buddha said, if you don't have wisdom and understanding, when you confront them, you will sure suffer. That's why this is called a first noble truth of suffering, misery. Suffering means mental suffering. The pain that you feel, the sadness, the sorrow, the lamentation, the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, the misery. When you go through fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and depression, all this are very, very strong mental suffering. And living beings, sometimes they cannot cope. Suicidal thoughts keep on coming. That's why under those under depression, they have a lot of this. So life can be very difficult when you don't understand. So despite your materialistic success, when you confront all this reality, you got no defense mechanism, you cannot cope. That's why spiritual understanding come in. So now we go back to the spiritual law. The Buddha said, law of karma, the law of mind. The last one is the law of Dhamma, which is the teaching, law of truth, all of truth. That's why this Four Noble Truth is part of the law of truth. He said, you understand this truth, then you will know how to manage your life better. The First Noble Truth tells you about the reality of life and existence, how suffering can come about. Then the Buddha moved on, is it? There is a Second Noble Truth that explains to you the cause behind all the suffering. Why living beings suffer? Why you suffer? It's because you deludedly grasp and cling to this fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. Then you have craving, desire, craving not to die, not to fall sick, not to get old. Craving for things that you desire strongly means whatever you hope for, you expect, your expectation and all those things. But when you cannot get what you want, when your craving are not met, that is the cause of suffering. So this cause of suffering, which is your craving, your desire, your lust, your emotional negativity, which is the opposite craving, negative craving, means your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, all those things. Then the Buddha said there are three types of craving. First is sensual craving. Craving born of sense experience. When you crave for something very pleasant, very beautiful, very memorable, so you crave to have all those conditions, means good life, happy life, good health, like your Chinese New Year wishes. But when all these, which are impermanent, when the condition doesn't set in, then you cannot get what you want, you become afflicted, miserable. So all of craving is a prelude to suffering. No matter how noble your craving is, there are situations where you cannot get what you want. Your craving cannot be satisfied. Then the cause is immediate suffering, misery. Then when condition doesn't go your way, when your expectation in life are not met, when you cannot get what you want in life, you become miserable, you become afflicted. So this cause of suffering is very important. You are not deluded, you don't grasp, you don't cling, you don't hold, you don't have this craving for the sense experience, then you will be peaceful, the Buddha said. Whatever you want, you work towards it. These are nature's law. You cannot get it through crooked means because there are coming repercussions. You get it through the appropriate means, then you will like realize your ambition or aspiration. Then there is no coming repercussion or negativity. But you don't understand this spiritual law, you deceitfully try to get what you want, then when the karmic hit back, you will be afflicted. So this first two noble truths is very useful, the Buddha said. If I understand what suffering is, and I understand the cause behind, I will know how to manage my life better. I will not allow this to happen to my own life. Because I have a choice. I hold the key to my own life destiny. If I know these are suffering, if I continue to allow it, means I am deluded. I don't have wisdom. Then I suffer. So the first Two Noble Truths can allow mundane people to have some mundane understanding to deal with life, but it cannot be a permanent solution because it is only temporary at the thought level. You try to use your thought process, rationalize it, and try to tell yourself, this is not me, I should not attach, I should not grasp, I should let go. But all these are words, you cannot do it. Well, when the time comes, you will be afflicted. And you can see it happening in this world, even among our friends, colleagues, and many so-called Buddhists. Because the Dhamma is not understood, not deep. So you have to move on to the third noble truth. The Buddha said, under the third noble truth, suffering need not be. You don't have to confront suffering. Because when you have this understanding of his teaching, you can realize the enlightenment in the here and now, which the Buddha called Nibbana. Nibbana can be realized. And when you realize this Nibbana, it will lead to the end of all suffering. There is no more suffering, no more unhappiness, no more misery. You can only experience peace, love, tranquility, stillness of mind, silence. Then you can be at peace with all situations, all people, all conditions that arise. So this third noble truth is very useful, very reassuring. Then you see that there is hope to free your mind. There is a possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, and we don't have to suffer unnecessarily. And then you will strive on to cultivate this teaching, so that you can realize this enlightenment. And to realize this enlightenment, the Buddha continued with the fourth noble truth. He didn't just stop there. He didn't just tell you that it is possible, but you have to do it yourself. He said no. He can even explain to you how it can be done. Well, he has done it. So under the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said, you cultivate this meditation as taught by him, which he called the Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the most important noble truth. Noble Eightfold Path got eight path factors that are related to life completely. The first path factor is about having right view and right understanding of the law that governs life and existence. So the first three right view, they are related to the three spiritual law. Right view with regards to the law of karma. Right view with regards to the law of the mind, how you function as a human being. How you get yourself entangled with life. How your mind becomes afflicted, miserable. And how when you understand this teaching, you can reverse all this and make your mind calm, peaceful, and beautiful. Then the advantages of meditation, this type of meditation, to train your mind. There are many. The first two immediate benefits is, the Buddha said, the moment you train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, it will bring forth a very peaceful mind, so you will develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being. When you have peace, you need well-being. That's why you must have love. You must have compassion. You must have good thought, good mind, beautiful mind. Then your mind states are very calm, very peaceful, very beautiful, then full of well-being. Just like when you learn how to develop metta meditation or loving kindness meditation, the Buddha said you can read it to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be peaceful and calm always. May it be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy within all. So as you radiate this, your mind state become more and more peaceful, more and more calm. Then later on, it will settle down and become very quiet, very still. Then you have clarity. Then you can see things as they are. You are very calm. When your mind is peaceful and calm, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. Then you can see things clearly. You can make better decisions in mind. In life, sorry. Then you can ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve all this so-called issue or life problem amicably, so that you don't have to hold on to that problem and worry about those problems. You don't have to project your thought to condition your fear, worry, anxiety. So meditation can allow you to do all this. So the benefit of meditation is, it leads to inner peace, inner well-being, then clarity of mind to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and what actually happened. Then through this clarity and understanding, you develop wisdom, understanding. And this will enable you to make much, much better decisions in life. And your life will become different. It will help you in your study too. In your work, in your career, when you have peace of mind, when you don't have the hindrance of mind, negativity of mind, you are peaceful, you are beautiful. So these are the advantages that you can gain when you train your mind to develop this meditation. So the second right view is right view with regards to this law of mind, means you must understand this mind can be trained to become beautiful, to help you understand life, live life, and make you beautiful. But if you abuse this mind and allow this mind to become heedless, the Buddha said, then it will lead to the negativity side, opposite side, and create a lot of negative karma, suffering and misery. So this is how the second right view can help you change your life. Then the third right view is to understand the law of Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama, mainly the Four Noble Truths. That's why you have to understand this Four Noble Truths. In life, if you want to live life, you must understand the laws that govern life and existence. That's why this right view, this right understanding is very important. Without this understanding, you cannot start your life. You cannot cope with life. So when you have right view, especially with regards to law of karma, if we know our mind, our life is dependent so much on karma, we are according to the Buddha through his realization, enlightenment. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. If karma plays such a big role, what must we do? We must take care of karma. How do we take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil so that no negative karma. Then to train our mind, to meditate, to purify our mind, to develop the wholesomeness of mind, the good mind, so that we will have the good life, the good karma. We reward with soul when you are kind, gentle, generous and good to people. People will be kind, gentle and good to you. So all this, you will start to develop the understanding. Then with this understanding, if you check back, you will come to realize your life can become beautiful. It will help you change your life, no matter how miserable you are, how much suffering you may have. But if you understand this nature's law, you only have to change the way you live your life. your character, your personality. Do not be like last time, full of selfishness, full of emotional negativity, full of anger, hatred, jealousy, full of fear, worry, anxiety. These are all wrong thoughts, leading to negative karma, leading to suffering. So you should cultivate appropriate, right thought, wholesome thought, following Noble Eightfold Path. So the first power factor, which is right view, when you have this right understanding, it will condition you to have right thought, because you will avoid all evil, avoid all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, the evil action, speech, and thought process. So Noble Eightfold Path is very useful. When you have this understanding, then you tell yourself, how do I avoid evil? What constitutes evil? The Buddha said, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. So if you keep your precept, minimum five precepts. First precept is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who kill and who cause harm? Selfish people, violent people, angry people, deluded people. These are the people with all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Selfishness is part of greed. Your emotional negativity, your anger, hatred, then your fear, worry, anxiety is a delusion. So all these are evil roots. With this, if you violate this precept, which is killing and causing harm to fellow living being, then you become evil. That is negative karma. You will suffer. You reap what you sow. Then later on, when the condition arrives, you become victim. People will cheat you. People will kill you, harm you, make you miserable. So the second precept is the same. It's about undertaking the training rule to abstain from stealing, taking things that don't belong to you. Who take and steal things that don't belong to them? Selfish people, greedy people, deluded people, again with the evil root. Then the third precept is committing sexual misconduct. Who do that? Lustful people, which is selfish, deluded people. That's why all these precepts you break, evil bring about negative karma, downfall. That's why to avoid evil, you keep your precept. This is what you do. Just now, our puja, we renew our precept. So precept is very important, moral causation. Precept is to avoid evil administered to you for your own good, our love and compassion for us, not to make our life difficult. Then you have to cultivate the right effort to cultivate goodness, the right thought, right speech, right action. From right thought, it will bring about right speech and right action. Where all of your thought process, your mental intention, condition your speech and action. But if you don't have right view, your thought will be wrong. That's why right view condition right thought. And what are right thought? To understand right thought, you must understand what constitutes wrong thought. Whatever thought that you arise, if it condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness in life, your selfishness, your cunningness, your deceitfulness, your emotional negativity and fear, these are all wrong thoughts. Whenever you are unhappy, not peaceful, there are wrong thoughts inside there. So this is the first thing you have to learn, the Buddha said. When you experience all this condition, then you know you have wrong thought. So what must you do? Well, this wrong thought has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It will make you evil. It will cause your karma to fall. So the Buddha said you must arise the right effort to abandon whatever wrong thought that has arisen, like your anger, your hatred, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your lust, your emotional negativity, all these wrong thoughts, you must abandon them. And how to abandon them? There are five ways, the Buddha said. You have to constantly think of the opposite wholesome thought. Like when you have a lot of anger, hatred, emotional negativity, envy, jealousy, then you have to think of the opposite wholesome thought. If you have loving kindness, when you radiate love to people, you cannot get angry there. Granted. When you have compassion, you cannot be cruel either. Cruelty arises because there is lack of compassion. Then when you have contentment, there is no more lust. Then when you have a lot of gratitude, there is no envy and jealousy. Then when you are appreciative of life, when you have a lot of good mind and thought process, all this wrong thought cannot arise. When you don't think selfishly, when you are generous, generosity will make you beautiful. Then you are incapable of selfishness, because you really want to help people, you are very generous, and you really want to bring about a better world, bring about better condition for living being to have good life. Like the medical profession, you only offer your medical expertise to help people, relieve them from all the suffering and all. And these are very wholesome, right livelihood that can bring about good karma. In future, when you have any future birth with condition that need medical attention, because you have helped people before, there will be medical attention that will help you, because you reap what you sow. Causes and conditions will arise for you to have them. So all these are very important. Then the Buddha said, if the first way doesn't work out for you, because sometimes when you are in the midst of this wrong thought, you cannot forget about it and just radiate the opposite right thought, because the problem is still there, understand? That's why you have to move on, the Buddha said. Reflect, contemplate, and think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, like this anger, this hatred, this jealousy. What will happen if you do that? Are you happy? Are you peaceful? Definitely not in there. Because the anger, the hatred, the misery make you miserable, suffer. Then you become evil, and obey the evil root. Then it will make you acting and speak in a very negative manner. Then bring about more negative karma. You hit out on others. Sometimes your own loved one, you scold them. Your own good friend, your colleague. Out of jealousy, out of hatred, you say things that are so detrimental to your relationship. Because you are tremendously under stress. Then sometimes they develop certain type of phobia. Especially they are being harassed by things, child abuse, harassment and all those things. Then they have this phobia. Then when they are in this state of phobia, you pressure them, they will really burst out and they can do a lot of funny thing. So all these are the mind state that can arise. So when you contemplate on the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, then you tell yourself, my life, how can I allow this to happen? How can I be so foolish, so stupid, so miserable? Sorry, so deluded to allow this thing to happen to my own life. I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely my choice. I should choose to be happy, peaceful, to have right thought instead of wrong thought. And then, when you see the danger, the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, then you will tell yourself, I will determine to abandon them. Then you become more determined and you abandon them to the third way, The third way is the Buddha said meditation, very simple. When anger arises, when hatred, jealousy arises, you just silence your mind, go somewhere quiet, peaceful, silent, relax, maintain awareness. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. So when you allow it to flower and don't think about it, don't hold on to it, don't grasp onto it, just allow it to flower. This mind will return to its original state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is the meditative state before it stir, before it get angry, emotional, or fearful. When you are happy in your normal state, you are very peaceful, especially when you have good sleep. So when you meditate and train your mind also can be like that. That's why relax, silent, and just aware. And it will return to that peaceful state, the inner peace leading to the inner well-being. Then the tranquility, stillness of mind, the silent mind, then you feel good, peaceful. Then after that, you have clarity. Then you come out, you write down what happened. How come I was stressed out until like that? How come I got so much anger, hatred? And these are not conducive for life. These are not conducive for me. It caused so much suffering, not only in me, in my loved one, in my friend and all those things. So I had to reverse all this. Then you realize, if you follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate wholesomeness and goodness, you become beautiful. So this right effort, the third way, is very important, can bring about immediate relief, make you peaceful. Then the fourth way is even better. It will allow you to develop wisdom, understanding. The Buddha said you trace the origination factor. How did you become angry? How did you become fearful, emotional, panicky, restless? There is a reason behind its arising, is it? You trace back, it's always from one of your sense doors. Either you see something that you are not happy, or you hear something like people scolding you, abusing you, backbiting, talking behind your back, and all those things. Or you recall some fearful thing. Or you saw somebody and recall certain past phobia or event. Then suddenly fear arise. Then suddenly anger, hatred arise because the unhappy past trigger off. So the Buddha said, there is a reason why you become like that. So through one of your senses. Then when it arises, you have to reflect and contemplate. How come you have this type of problem? How come other people you don't have? When you see somebody you like who is very friendly to you, or some good friend which you haven't met quite a while who helped you before, you can become so happy. Then you jump with joy to meet him. But certain people you see, the memory come back, the bad memory, then you become so miserable, unhappy, full of hatred, jealousy, phobia, and all those things. So these are the things that you have to reflect and contemplate. Then the Buddha said, this arises because of wrong view, because you don't know how to develop the wisdom to accept the world, to accept living beings and people the way they are. People are just the way they are. Living beings are just the way they are. So if you can accept them for what they are, just like how they accept you for what you are, then you are at peace. And this wisdom is very important, the Buddha said. You trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it through an understanding, through straightening your view. So I ask myself, how can I straighten my view? How can I accept them for what they are? Very easy. Because when you develop this meditation, you will come to understand different people are different. When they are selfish, they will do selfish things. When they have this, what they call anger, hatred, emotional negativity, they will act violently. when they are deluded, they will cheat, deceive, and do all those funny things. So people are just the way they are. So you should be able to accept them for what they are, but doesn't mean you agree with their action, agree with what they do. You only have to accept them for what they are, because they are just the way they are. When you can have this understanding, you are no longer like before, reacting, getting angry because you perceive them with negativity. Now you perceive them as normal human beings. Deluded people say deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. So I can accept them for what they are. Then you come to terms with them. You can be at peace with them. And then you act. How to resolve all this misunderstanding amicably, beautifully. That's how you apply Noble Eightfold Path. Talk to them nicely, sincerely, pleasantly. That's why you will have right speech, which are very good, gentle, pleasant, good speeches that bring about understanding, harmony, love, that can help you resolve your misunderstanding. Don't get angry. Don't react negatively, sarcastically. Do not arise all the harsh speech, the angry speech, the wrong speech. So all these are not conducive for communication, for relationship. That's why develop appropriate, right, good, wholesome speeches, gentle, pleasant, and good speeches that can bring about harmony, love, understanding. Then the relationship will improve. The harmony within the home will improve. Then many, many things will improve. Then act appropriately. Act with sincerity, generosity, kindness, goodness. Have love, have contentment, have gratitude. Be appreciative of what your loved one has done for you, how they have contributed to your family well-being. Then as children, we should have gratitude towards our parents, for they give you life. They care for you, they protect you, they provide so much for you. They have so much love, and they sacrifice for you. They wash your clothes, care for you when you are sick. You can never pay your mother's love when you recall this. And that gratitude must come from your heart sincerely. That's why you must thank your parents, your mom, for giving you all the things that you need in life, for giving you the education, all the good things in life. Do not always be selfish and complain and throw tantrum and get angry. You are not the only person in the family unit. If everybody acts selfishly like you, your whole family unit is gone. That's how not. Your parents, who are the breadwinner, who have the means, they don't have to sacrifice for you. You think they don't know how to use their money. Why must they waste it on your education and provide for your good life? A lot of parents sacrifice so much, save all the money, then just spend it on children's education, for their future, their marriage and all that. So when you recall back all this thing that your parent has done for you, you will have a lot of gratitude towards them. You will appreciate what they have done for you. And that will give you good mind, the love that you can have for them. And family harmony can come through that. That's why I speak to your children gently, pleasantly. Let them feel the love. Do not just scold and react. Because a lot of this misunderstanding comes from your wrong speech and the wrong thought that you arise. So this first right effort to abandon this wrong thought is very useful. Then the second right effort is to prevent them from arising. Later on, when you have this training, this first right effort developed, then your right view straightened. then you will know how to prevent all these wrong thoughts from arising. The moment you want to arise, you already can stop it. Ah, enough. You make me miserable enough last time, so enough. I don't want to think that way anymore. I don't want to be jealous anymore. I don't want to be fearful anymore. I don't want to have selfishness anymore. No. I want to have joy, happiness, contentment, gratitude. Then you develop all this, what they call right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that is still not in you. And then you learn how to transform yourself, character-wise, personality-wise, to become a better human being, a better parent, a better friend, or humanity, human being, so that you can be a blessing to all. Then the last right effort is to purify and refine upon all this good thought, right speech, right action that you have developed and cultivated, so that your life become better and better, better and better, so that people can feel you, feel your kindness, your gentleness, your love, your pleasantness, your goodness, your wholesomeness. And when you do this very often, you become incapable of negativity. Then you transform from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living with all the Noble Eightfold Path factor. From right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then after that is right mindfulness, which is meditation. That one, another topic. When you are interested, you come and join us. Then we teach you meditation, right mindfulness. Then the last one is right samadhi, collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. When you have mindfulness and samadhi, your mind is very still, very quiet, very peaceful. It can see things as they are. And because it has this samadhi, which is collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. When you have this mind state, when you see something, hear something, your mind does not stir anymore like before. Get angry, emotional, fearful, no more. Because that samadhi will allow your mind to be very stable. So this is the meditation. So today I just want to share this, so that hopefully it can help you in your life. Okay, I will end my sharing. You got any question, you can ask. Oh, almost 1 hour, 15 minutes. Yeah. Anybody got any question? You can ask while I have a drink. Thank you. They every time provide so many things. So these are what they call wholesomeness, because they really wants to take care of me. They know after I speak I need to drink. Then today Stephanie make this special pawsum. Pawsum is good for throat and all those things. Anybody wants to share anything or not about life or ask any question related to life? Yes, pass the mic to our sister. Yeah. Michelle, is it? Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Brother Teo, just now you said when anger arises, go to a silent place, try to meditate, and then come out and write down why am I so angry, and then reflect about it.
Yeah.
Can you give example? example?
Can, no problem. Let's say in the office, and the best example is that there are many kilometers used to come and tell me all this. Most of them are related to office work. Sometimes the bosses are very, very demanding. They really, for no reason, tell you or fire you, scold you, abuse you. Then sometimes in the meeting, some of the colleagues, you know, they try to cover their back. So when you are not in the meeting, they blame you. The person supposed to be in charge and they never do her work and all those things. So when you are told about this, what happened to you? You will get very angry, very emotional. Then sometimes the worst thing to happen is your boss look down upon you, throw the file at you. Just tell you off like that. What type of rubbish are you submitting to you, to me? He said, this is not what I want. Then he Then he said, I want to see your report tomorrow, first thing tomorrow in the morning. You become totally shocked, shaken, full of anger, hatred, don't know what to do. Then you go out, you think, how can my boss be like that? And all say. Then your mind becomes very restless. How can you work? Understand? When your mind state is so confused, then you hold on to what he say, well, your ego is hurt. That's why there is attachment to your personality and all those things. Because you cannot accept him for what he is. He is like that one. So last time when I started work, I remember there was one, our senior boss. He was a senior, very senior officer. Then we all engineers, 9 of us under him. We are young graduate. We call him No No No. You know what is that? You go in, your design, before he can even look at it or understand it, no, don't do like that, change. At least 3 times, then any submission you can pass through within 3 times, you are very good. So we call him Mr. No, No, No. No matter how good you are, he don't like. Because this one happened to be a very funny one. He is a graduate from Singapore University. So he thought Singapore University better than MU. So he want to show it to the MU student and say, I don't care how good you are, I am the boss. So there was one engineer, young engineer, first class honors, very smart guy. He heard what we say, then he very smart. He went in, he brought in 2 designs. One very stupid one. One his own one, very good one. Then he go in, he said, Mr. Lim, the boss name is Mr. Lim. He said, I got a problem, can you help me? Oh, see, right speech. So this guy, no more no. Oh yeah, come. Tell me your problem. He said, you're this project, I don't know how to start, is it? At first I want to do like that. Then I was thinking maybe not good enough. Then I give it a thought, then I come out with this. Which do you think is better? Wow, straight away he chose the better one. The one is very stupid one. He said, use this. Yeah, you shouldn't use this, is it? This one is a better one. One time only approve it. That's why you must know how to approve. It means accept him for what he is. He is the boss. Why you want to argue with him? The first 2 rules you learn when you come out to work. What are the 2 rules? The boss is always right. Number 2, if ever the boss is wrong, refer rule 1. So how you argue with the boss? So this guy very smart. After that, we know how to handle him. So when you have a lot of the emotional negativity, your mind becomes restless, unhappy, you got no clarity, you cannot do your work properly. You don't understand what he wants. Because I got one classmate, last time he was in the construction sector. He became so famous until I heard his name. They came and relate to me. I said, this one was my uni mate and my best friend, my good friend. huh? They say, you know him or not? You, he very fierce or not? You go into his room, you got no chance to answer him. He fire you from the very moment you enter until you come out. Within the 2 minutes, you don't know what he say. He just throw the file at you and you get out. Then don't come and see me until you have sorted out. Oh, he doesn't want to see you. But to him, he pay you to do the job. You come back with problem to see him, he say, I hire you for what? You go and sort it out. I don't. If you need financial authority or what, you see me. But all this problem, you don't bring back to me. You say, I got enough problem. So there are different bosses who handle things differently. So if you don't understand them, you become fearful, panicky, full of what they call restlessness. Then what you do? So normally what I do is I just silent. If I got a situation or a problem, I relax silent in the office because I got a room to myself. Then I relax and silent. Then I realize this mind state settle down, slow down. Then I become very peaceful again, the original mind state return. Then later on when I become so skillful, nothing matter already. No matter what they say, what they do, this one never stir anymore. Always peaceful. Then you got no more problem. But those who still haven't trained, then you need to. Otherwise you cannot cope. Understand? It's so stressful in the office, in the meeting. Sometimes they dare not go to office. They take medical leave. It very often, you don't laugh. There are many people who cannot go to office. They try to avoid the bosses. You know, last time I worked with a listed company. First thing in the morning, when the boss come in, they call the secretary. How is the boss mood today? The secretary will say, don't come near. Then nobody will go and see him that day. Or when he good mood, he say, today you can come. So there are a lot of people under tremendous stress, especially construction industry, because I'm a civil engineer, I am from that field. Project management, construction, very, very hectic. They call it one a war zone. You know what is a war zone? Ba-chiong one, non-stop one, war zone. So if you can have this meditative mind, it will help you so much. You just relax and silent. Then after a while, it becomes peaceful. Even the anger, the hatred, it will like slow down, until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then you realize anger is not you, understand or not? If anger is you, what happens when the anger ceases to be? You should die in it. But anger arises and disappears, and you never die. So how can anger be you? So don't blame anger, understand or not? Don't go and tell yourself, I still got anger, I shouldn't be angry. Then the next thought tell you, but the boss scold me, abuse me, put word in my mouth. If you have this wrong thought, you will be angry at Sana. You should instead accept him for what he is. And he is not that one. He just want to be right, but he is the boss. And he will say all these things. So when you understand him, you accept him for what he is, then you ask yourself, what are my options? Because I need to work for him. So I need to work under him. So I need to understand him. I need to talk to him in a manner where I can approach him so that he can reciprocate in an appropriate way so that he will not scold me. Then if you need to apologize to him, you apologize to him. So you get yourself prepared, then you go in and say, Mr. So-and-so, I think I really would like to apologize because I caused you unnecessary problem. I make you have this misunderstanding. I think it was only appropriate you scold me. After you scold me, I felt better. I now understand what you need. So I hope you will forgive me. Then I sincerely would like you to help me because I'm not sure what you want. I tried to do my best. So I have come out with this. Is it okay or not? If you talk to people nicely like that, they won't get angry at you, they won't throw the file at you. You go in, you argue. I tell you, you sure did one. First thing first, do not create argument. Don't try to be right. Listen attentively. And the best people are what, you know, they say, yes, yes, thank you. Because I went to this, what they call, traffic police place. Last time during the early day when I had to pay the compound fine, MPPJ or what, they got this magistrate court or session court, you know that. So I went there and parking ticket, I go and look around, ask around, don't know where. So they say, you got to go there, go there. Then I passed by this place where the session court was in session, I didn't know. Then I saw one by one, they asked the traffic offender, who don't want to pay compound fine, go up there. Then that magistrate, or don't know what, sit there. You know one guy, he refused to pay the compound fine. He said the police is very unreasonable. He said, I didn't really beat the red light. He said, before I crossed was yellow light. You know what happened? That magistrate got no time for you, he said. Cakap lagi, increase the compound. Cakap lagi, increase the fine. Until he stopped, he did not say anything. If you try to give reason, argue, no point. You want, you get a lawyer to fight the case. Otherwise, in front of him, you better mengaku salah, then sort it out. Or tak mengaku salah, okay, then go court case. It's either or. You don't try to explain, because she is not there to listen to you. She got so many cases to clear. She also want to have her lunch and go back early. So these are human beings. But those that are very sincere or duty bound, they are different. Then they will listen to you. But nowadays, hardly you can find this type of magistrate or what. So most of them are behaving because of selfishness, their own so-called problem that condition them to react that way. So you can't blame them. Okay? So you can. And there was another one case, not about work. I forgot already. One is about work, the other one is... I cannot recall. There was another case. I cannot recall. Cannot. Next day or next time, when I recall, I let you know. Just now, while I was explaining, I told you got two cases. The other one, I cannot recall. Whatever happened, don't worry. Tell yourself, you have to calm yourself down. If you can do this, you will become beautiful. No matter what happened, don't get angry. Don't react. Then you will be beautiful. Then you listen attentively and smile. Then the best is, if I cause you any misunderstanding, I would like to apologize. I'm very sorry. Then the whole thing, yes, car accident one. Now I remember. Car accident one. There was one case, that guy become very violent. Because once accident already, you don't try to be right or wrong. You try to be right or wrong, you sure get into trouble. Then if you meet one violent one, that day in the WhatsApp, somebody told me, one guy, he driving, was on the phone or one in front, then the guy at the back horned him. Then you know what happened? He stopped his car, he took down, don't know, axe or hammer. He want to go and chop the guy. Then somebody at the back of the car took a video, shot, then put it on the, what they call, Facebook. It went viral. Then the guy panicked, went back to the car. So sometimes out of the spur of the moment, the anger, you do foolish things. And there are many incidents nowadays, because nowadays, handphone is so convenient. you can be caught in the act. So you have to be very mindful, very careful. And sometimes for no reason, why do you want to argue with people? If accident, first thing first, come down, say, I'm sorry if I caused you, why not like that? We let the insurance pay. You claim my insurance, you tell him first. Don't try to say you are not wrong or what. You go and make your police report, then only you tell the police. But in front of them, don't argue. Say, it's okay, maybe my fault. Whatever it is, I got insurance. You claim my insurance. You talk like that, they tone down already. You try to argue, why are you so stupid? Drive so slow. I tell you, the moment you hear that, you bang my back, you don't tell me that. He sure whack you. Then there was one real case. They saw one old man that actually accidentally banged into their car in front. So this, I think, youngster or what, they come down, I think they are also not of good character. They got so angry with this old man. They wanted to ask him to pay a lot of money. They say a lot of negative. But they didn't know this old man very well connected. Then this old man just quietly sit in the car, make a phone call. After that, 4 or 5 car appear and whack this 5 fellow up. Somewhere near SS2, that's why I know. That's why you don't try to become funny. In life, don't become hero. Don't try to be right. Tone yourself down. Be humble. What have you got to lose by apologizing and say, I'm sorry if I have caused you any misunderstanding? So speak in a very nice, gentle and pleasant way. Do not raise your voice. Do not point finger, accuse people, and say all those wrong things. That's why that Dhamma can help you in many, many ways when you understand. Okay? I think we better end. It's getting late, the clock. Okay, we will wrap up. We'd like to thank all of you for making time to be here to celebrate together with Stephanie this house dana of his, so that we can have the causes and condition to have this good Dhamma sharing. So with this, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will share merit, transfer merit, and you can make your aspiration if you want to. We will chant in Pali. Akasata chupumata devanaka mahindika menyantang aditwa akantu loka sasana itawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Open.
Open.